Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hustler Turf Equipment, most complete lineup of residential and commercial zero-turn lawnmowers in America. 1,000 dealers nationwide. Go to HustlerTurf.com, HustlerTurf.com. You know, it's interesting. When I'm not somebody that loves chaos in my life. I had kind of an odd childhood. I'm good, you know. I don't want drama. I've gone to therapists over it. I like an easy life. Don't give me a lot of drama. The reason I think Sam Darnold works in Carolina, one of the reasons, Sam had all this chaos in New York. He just wants to be able to turn and hand the ball off to a star running back and throw to a star receiver. Similarly, Carolina, since Christian McCaffrey arrived, Sam Darnold will be the seventh quarterback who has started a game. So you have these two entities, Carolina, their offense, and Sam Darnold. You have this marriage. They've had a lot of chaos. Carolina's offense has had a lot of different quarterbacks last several years, and Sam Darnold's had chaos, and now they come together. And I'm like, they're both seeking the same thing. Carolina seeking reliability. Sam seeking less nonsense. And I think it's going to work. And I think it's going to work big. And with that, Christian McCaffrey, fifth year in the NFL, a two-time All-Pro. He is joining us now live. So, first of all, Christian, as I just explained, I really think Darnold's perfect for you. You get a big, strong kid. He's dynamic. I love Teddy Bridgewater, but I do think he adds a dimension athletically that, you know, Teddy didn't bring. So your thoughts, have you met Sam? Have you talked to him? Have you worked out with him? Where are you with Sam right now, Christian?
Yeah, well, first off, Colin, thanks for having me on, man.
You bet.
Obviously, big fan. But yeah, you know, Sam, I've known him for a long time, played against him at USC, you know, and kind of been following his career since, and worked out with him a few times. And now that we're all back here at the facility, you know, just being able to see, you know, not just, you know, his talent, from his arms, from his arm strength to his, you know, just ability to look at a defense and understand where to go with the ball, but his leadership as well. And he's a guy that's very easy to get to know, but is a great leader on the field. So we're all super excited to have him.
You know, it's interesting, Christian. I met he and his family years ago, and Sam's not a guy that seeks attention. He's kind of a regular kid, played volleyball on the beach with a beer. He'd be just as happy as going, you know, to something fancy. And tell people a little bit about his personality, because that's one of the things that draws me to him. He's such a regular guy, and I do think professional athletes like the idea that he doesn't want to be a, he doesn't want to get the attention. He just wants to be one of the dudes.
Yeah, you know, he's a football guy. He wants to win. You know, that's the only thing that's on his mind is winning. You know, he's a very humble, great person. You know, you talk to him off the field, he treats everybody with respect. He doesn't walk around, you know, like he's more important than anybody else. And you know, but at the end of the day, when it comes to practice, he knows what it takes to win. And a lot of that happens when you haven't had success, you know, and I know that from firsthand experience. And so just, you know, getting to know both sides of them, the player and the person off the field is, you know, you know what you're going to get with him. And that's what's so exciting, because he's great on the field and he's an even better guy off the field.
Well, I'm a fan of Matt Rhule. And first of all, last year he comes in, he drafts all defense because he feels, and he's right, I got some offensive pieces I like. This year he paid a little more attention to the offense. So tell me how Matt Rhule... Tell me what the offense is, because I think you guys actually have some really nice offensive pieces. I thought you needed to upgrade at left tackle. You did. But tell me about his offense. Is it complicated? Does it take a while? Is it simple? What's Sam walking into, Christian?
Well, I think the biggest thing for us is and it's like every year, you know, every play is designed to work. And you know, a lot of times teams can overcomplicate things and players can overcomplicate things, but at the end of the day, it's football. And it's you know, throwing the ball to the right guy, it's catching it, it's breaking tackles, it's making plays, and you know, players win games. So I think Sam knows that. Everybody else on our team knows that. Coach Rule knows that. Coach Brady knows that. Coach Snow knows that. And so for us, it's just taking it day by day and honing in on the details. You know, it's so early right now, and we have so many new guys and moving pieces that we're trying to figure out exactly what we're good at and execute that to the fullest.
So it's interesting. Last year you had a quad injury, a shoulder injury, and a bunch of stuff. It was a little bit everything kind of just – it's being a running back in the NFL. Where are you physically now, and what did you really this offseason, Christian? What did you have to attack with your body? What did you have to do?
You know, I feel great right now. I feel really good. I'm at 100% everywhere. Luckily, I didn't have to have any major surgeries. So, you know, it was obviously a down year. It happens, but, you know, I'm not going to harp on it, and I'm focused on this year. But really, it's just a constant moving process, you know, constantly figuring out what the – you know, next best thing is, and it's also relying on the fundamentals of training, and that's kind of what I've gone back to, and I feel great, and I'm ready to go.
So one of the draft picks, I was talking with Joy the other day around the draft, and I said, every year there's a couple guys drafted, and you can't believe that a team got them in like a third or a fourth round or a fifth round, and Chuba Hubbard is really good. And I said, oh, my Lord, Sam didn't have a running game in New York. I get Christian McCaffrey, and his backup is Chuba Hubbard. Have you watched Chuba? Do you know his game? What do you know? Have you seen him play?
Yeah, you know, it's exciting to see, you know, what he can do with the ball in his hands. You know, obviously with the success he had in college, you know he can do it. You know, and I look at a guy like him who is good at a lot of different things and works hard and takes notes and asks all the right questions, and that's really what you – what you want in a rookie right now is just somebody who's going to hone in on the details and, you know, make all the right decisions as far as protections and the playbook goes. But, you know, we have such a good running back room right now. And, you know, guys like Reggie Bonifant as well and Rodney Smith and Darius Clark and all these other guys who have come in and really done a good job. So it's just fun being able to work with all those guys every day.
You are the only running back in league history with multiple 100-catch seasons. I've talked to general managers in the league, and they say McCaffrey could start in this league as a wide receiver. You really – and it's funny, you know, your dad – I remember your dad. And your dad was a lot stronger than people thought, and he was a lot faster than people thought. In fact, I've asked NFL players before about your dad, and they're like, he was a long strider. If he got ahead of you, it was over. You take incredible pride in receiving. If I said to you, Christian, you're going to peel off a 48-yard run, you're going to make two guys miss between the tackles, touchdown. Or you take a swing pass and you'd make a tough one-handed catch, haul it in, run for a touchdown. What highlight gets you more jacked up?
The points always, man. I mean, I'll take points any day of the week. You know, if any time you could put the ball in the end zone, I'll take that. But no, you know, I definitely take a lot of pride in being able to run routes at all the positions and catch the ball. You know, it's just another way to put the ball in my hands, and that's what I love to do most. So definitely take a lot of pride in it.
Did your dad, was he disappointed when you chose running back over wide receiver because he was a real good wide receiver?
No, he didn't. He wasn't disappointed. I'm the runt of the family. All my brothers are much taller than I am, so I you know, I'm the short one and always played running back. And you know, when I was a kid, I, you know, started when I was seven, and you know, the running back gets the ball every time. I wasn't a quarterback, and the running back gets the ball every play, so I wanted to get the ball and stuck with running back since then.
Yeah, it's worked out pretty well for you. By the way, the Christian McCaffrey Foundation announced its 22 and Troops campaign in support of military communities. Tell us about it. It's in Charlotte. Info's at 22andtroops.org. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, it's something I'm really excited about. My foundation, we're doing a concert July 2nd at the Fillmore in North Carolina in Charlotte. And, you know, something for me, being a guy who loves music, it's Zach Bryan, who's a singer-songwriter, country music artist.
Yeah.
All the proceeds of this concert are going to my foundation, and we've partnered with a lot of different people. We've partnered with Reboot Recovery, which is a organization that takes a lot of pride in taking, you know, kind of a 360 approach to helping vets with PTSD come back into, you know, a normal life or as normal as we can get. It's something I have a lot of pride in. I'm very passionate about. You know, I heard the stat that 22 veterans commit suicide every single day, and that woke me up. You know, and that doesn't even account for the thousands of ones who go through PTSD and depression and mental health issues all the time. So this is something, you know, for the Charlotte community or anyone else that wants to come out. Like Colin said, you can get your tickets at 22introops.org or my website, which is on my Instagram and my bio. And but yeah, I'm definitely really excited about it. I'm playing piano too, Colin. So
oh boy,
my first too. Hopefully I don't mess it up.
You Stanford guys, you got all the brains. You're athletes. You're playing the piano. Well, say hi to Sam Darnold. I really do love the two guys are coming together now. Darnold and Christian McCaffrey. I first of all, I don't even need to watch anybody else. I'm just watching Panther games. I'm the rest of the league. I'm not even interested in. Christian, it's great seeing you.
Appreciate it. Great seeing you too.
All right, Christian McCaffrey. He joined us during the Super Bowl, if you recall, Joy, a couple of years ago. And it really does. When you have two people that had chaos in their lives and all they want is a little peace. A little peace, a little continuity. Darnold's had it. Panthers offense, you bring them together. They actually, with Chuba Hubbard and McCaffrey, those are like home runs. It's like Cleveland. Cleveland's got Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are home run hitters. These are home run. These are guys that break. You know, nothing against the Steelers went and got Najee Harris. Good player. He doesn't give you a lot of 40-plus runs. He's just really strong. So this offense got more dynamic at quarterback, more dynamic at running back. They don't even need Tebow at tight end. That's how good this team is.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Joey with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
So Steph Curry is eligible for another huge contract extension with the Warriors this offseason. He's coming off of one of his best statistical seasons, obviously, despite missing the playoffs.
Yeah.
And GM Bob Myers expects the team will be able to get a deal done with Steph. He said, I don't see any reason not to be optimistic. He seems like he's motivated. We're motivated. I would say pretty confident we'll get something done. He has 1 year remaining on his five-year, $201 million Supermax contract that he signed in 2017.
I would certainly take calls and listen.
He'll be an unrestricted free agent in 2022.
Big market out there of teams that could use Steph Curry. If Clay,
The whole league would love to have Steph Curry. But is Steph Curry interested in leaving the Warriors? I don't think he is. I think he's a lifer.
Right.
He feels that way. I know there's been a lot of sweet talking from LeBron about Steph recently. There's those couple of conspiracies out there that
conspiracy. They're talking. What's conspiratorial about it?
How do we know that they're talking about playing together?
Well, what are they talking about making ginger snap cookies? Of course they're talking
ginger
about playing together.
Ginger snap cookies are good. I don't know. I don't know. Listen, nothing would surprise me.
Very little
surprises me anymore.
A little fishy that in the last three times he's been asked about Steph Curry, LeBron's like, oh, he's the best player I've ever seen. Like, who wouldn't want Steph Curry? This guy's unbelievable. Don't you think it's a little fishy?
No, I think that there's something to it, but I just think Steph, he just feels like one of those guys that would stay in the Bay.
And last time Steph was asked about LeBron, well, nobody better. Sounds like two.
Again, it wouldn't surprise me, and it's entirely possible.
Sounds like two guys that are in a band that would like to form their own band.
Well.
So it feels like to me.
If he signs another max deal, he'll be the first player in NBA history to sign multiple $200-plus million contracts. So, but he makes a lot of money everywhere else too. So I don't know. So Donovan Mitchell was not happy that he was held out of Utah's first game against the Grizzlies, but he will be in the lineup for game two. The team confirmed he will be available to play when the Jazz look to even the series on Wednesday. Also, Utah's Jordan Clarkson has been named this year's Sixth Man of the Year.
I love the way they gave him the award. Did you see that? Oh, it was great. They gave him the award. He didn't know it was coming, and they brought it out during a post game or something.
Aw, that's fun.
Or practice.
Yeah,
it was really good.
His first full season with the team averaged 18.4 points, 4 rebounds, and 2.5 assists per game. He's also the first player from the Jazz to ever win this award.
Yeah,
is Jordan Clarkson. So the game two between the Jazz and Grizzlies is Wednesday at 10 Eastern. I would assume that Donovan Mitchell being back means that they're going to win. Obviously, we don't know how healthy he is coming back. But the Grizzlies were incredible in game one. So
I saw the first game Jordan Clarkson played for the Jazz. I was actually at that game. And he was needed. That was their thing they didn't have. They needed to be more athletic on the wing. So he's fit with them really well.
Yeah,
it's all about – yeah, he's not a great player. He's a good player, so fit becomes essential when you're a good player.
And well, also, you know, the Jazz have a really – have a great culture and a great system, and a big part of making all of this work and being a successful team is having guys maximize their role in what it is that they do. And that's really what championship teams do. So Tim Tebow is battling for a roster spot in Jacksonville after signing a one-year deal as a tight end. But after speaking with several people who have coached Tebow, Albert Breer wrote in this week's Monday Morning Quarterback that he can't, quote, find anyone who thinks it will work.
Oh, Joy, you're just anti-Tebow.
I'm very pro-Tebow. I'm very pro-Tebow. I don't have anything against – I can't even say I have anything against him. I like Tim Tebow. I like Tim Tebow's brand. I think he's very nice. I think he would make an excellent broadcaster and could work our field forever if he wanted to.
He did some SEC stuff, and he had a great energy on there. He's a good-looking guy with great energy. He was fun on the air. He was fun.
It's not a bad job, Tim. Not a bad job.
Not bad. And but Tim
I got a heated blanket. It's very nice. Studio's nice. You know,
but we got to be careful with the story, because, you know, if you and I talk about this, we become heathens. It's like we are rooting against the goodness of Tim.
Perhaps this is something that you concern yourself with, Colin. I personally do
not. Okay. I am not. I am here for the goodness of Tim. Just don't think he's an NFL player.
It is irrational.
I know. But
by all measurable accounts.
Well, so is
to say this will work without any hesitation.
I know, but America's gotten less rational in the last 5 years. We got less rational. Stuff that's obvious, like get the vaccine, is now controversial. Like stuff that's just obvious.
This is everything about this is obvious. And what I don't like is this. If you're critical of anything, and I'm personally am very careful about what my critiques of people.
Yeah.
Because I look at all of this from a very personal space. I try to look at everything from a human perspective. Being critical of something does not make you a hater. If he goes on to become a Hall of Fame tight end, amazing story. Congratulations. Okay, I was wrong. I was wrong for thinking that you couldn't be out of a professional football for 8 years after not being great at another position and come in and do that. I will take the L on that one.
Think about this. Jordan left the NBA for 2 years, came back, and it was the only time he got to the playoff. Remember the Orlando series? He got beat by Orlando. Michael Jordan, the best basketball player ever, took like a year and a half off, came back, was not the same player for a year.
I just don't like the idea that if you're critical of him, that it has anything to do with religion. I don't care what your religion is. I don't care. I do not care. It has nothing to do. I don't even think of that when I think of Tim Tebow.
I know, but people get very provincial with Tim. He's like everybody's favorite son.
I don't even care about people being fans of him or wanting it to work or being excited about it. That's great too. But the idea that you're like a hater or something because you don't think it's going to work is just nonsense.
I know. That's what I think.
Nonsense.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Yeah. So, we're going to do the panic meter. So, Portland, Denver now tied up at one. Tonight, Lakers, Suns. Suns win. Where's the panic meter go? We'll talk about that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Marion, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Marion. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, the Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Use M-Drive every day. Powerful ingredients. Strong and lean. Go to mdriveformen.com. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. So, by the way, the Green Bay Packers today, they start their OTAs. Aaron Rodgers not there. Jordan Love is there. I'll give you a report on Jordan Love. Matt LaFleur had some thoughts on Jordan Love coming up. So, NBA playoffs underway. We've got some series we think will be lopsided, Brooklyn-Boston. But after that, you can see a lot of these series going six or seven games. So, Joy, we're going to play NBA panic meter.
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, how panicked should the Knicks be right now?
About a 6. So they can't stop Trae Young. All right? They're a good defensive team, but they can't stop Trae Young. They lost at home. And let's be honest about this, is that Julius Randle and R.J. Barrett are their two leading scorers, and Julius Randle really struggled. He's never been in this spot as a playoff guy to lean on him. So that you're asking Julius Randle to be a star offensive player, and that's not really what he is. So, you know, you lost at home. You can't stop Trae Young. A little concern.
Scale of 1 to 10. How panicked should the Heat be right now?
9. Tyler Hero's a bad player, suddenly averaging 7 a game in the series, shooting 20%. Jimmy Butler's not playing well. Some of that is just, frankly, it's not – I mean, Milwaukee's a really good defensive team. Last year, they got better. So this is not a great matchup. And with Tyler Hero now just lost at sea, you know, they need his scoring.
Yeah.
And Milwaukee, now Chris Middleton is playing without much fear because Chris Middleton can now be like – a good player, which is what he is, and not they're not demanding he be a special player in the playoffs.
Scale of 1 to 10, how panicked should the Jazz be right now?
I would say about a 3. First of all, Donovan Mitchell will play, and if he does, they're a better team than Memphis.
Yeah.
They also have the best home record in the NBA this year, 31-5. So, you know, they're good enough to beat a young Memphis team once on the road. And by the way, they're a very good three-point shooting team and shot very poorly from three-point land beyond the arc in game one. That probably corrects itself, so I think they're in pretty good shape.
Scale of 1 to 10, how panicked should the Suns be right now?
Well, they lead, but I'd say 6. It's all Chris Paul's injury. Chris Paul was the only player in the NBA that had 100-plus assists to three different teammates. Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and Bridges, Mikal Bridges. So, like, he is, even if he's not scoring, he is the heart of this team on both ends of the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Chris has had a history of getting banged up in the playoffs. So you worry a little about that. Also, this is a very physical Laker team. They're not going to, you know, there'll be no pause tonight. They'll go right after Chris physically. So this all comes down to, is Chris healthy? And when you look at his injury history and his age and the games he's played, a little concerning.
How panicked should the Nuggets be right now?
About a 5. They lost home court advantage. That is a thing. Jamal Murray, their second leading scorer, is gone, although they played very well this year without him. They really struggle to stop Damian Lillard. They did pretty good job in the second half last night, but some of that may have just been like, you know, Portland was done. They were roasted. So there's reason to be concerned. I think they're a really good team. But when you lose home court advantage, Portland's good at home. You're a little worried.
Scale of 1 to 10, how panicked should the Clippers be right now?
That's an 8. Okay, and I'll tell you why. First of all, they are a really good three-point shooting team, and they were dominated beyond the arc against the Mavs. What really concerns me is that Dallas is a poor defensive team, not even average. They're a poor defensive team. It's why Dallas is not a championship-level club yet. And then in the last 6 minutes of the game, they handcuffed the Clippers offensively. That is a problem because they're not a great defensive team. And it tells me this series, Paul George, Kawhi, it's still in their head. So when you look at the Clippers' history, when you look at last year in the bubble, when you look at Paul George's playoff history, Clippers need 8 and 10 point leads with 5 to go to win games. They can lock you down, but don't demand a lot of points from the Clippers late. Whereas Luka late, I have all the confidence in the world with.
Scale 1 to 10, how panicked should the Blazers be right now?
Again, that's about a five. They're going to win some games at home, and Dame's going to get his points. They're not going to struggle offensively. I mean, last night, they shot 82% from the free throw stripe, you know, 47% threes, 48% twos. Portland's defense is the issue, but, you know, unlike the Clippers, Portland didn't have any problem scoring in this series. So for them, they're going to have to situationally make some defensive stops. But I think they're playing right now with house money because they took home field advantage away by winning game one.
What's the panic meter for the Lakers right now?
I think it's low. I think it's about a three. AD played his worst playoff game as a Laker. The Lakers, also a nice three-point shooting team, were horrible. 7 for 27. I also think you have to be honest about it. Let's give this game context. It was the first playoff game for the Suns in 11 years. They were healthy, ready to go, and in Phoenix, the Lakers are the number one villain. This was, you were walking into a bear trap. Like, this was just no good. It was a tsunami of emotion. The Lakers, very early, this game wasn't really that close. It felt like Phoenix, after about the first 5 minutes, dominated it. And so I remember what was interesting about this game. The Lakers are favored in the series. Phoenix was actually favored on the betting markets in game one. That tells you what the Lakers were walking into. Phoenix also had a week off to prepare for it. So that's the classic. Don't overreact to a Laker-LeBron loss. Also, LeBron, in his career, when he's lost game one of a series, has won 60% of the time. The league average is 21% historically. So I think the bigger concern is Chris Paul's health.
Yeah.
If he's not healthy, if he's 75%, he is such a key for so many of their offensive players. That's kind of my panic level. Miami, you're done. I'm sorry, but it's just not going to work for you this year. So, the Packers OTA, and Aaron Rodgers is not there, right? So Jordan Love, and as I said earlier, if they don't think he can, with this offensive group, if they don't start sounding a little more confident with him, it sends a bad message because they got a top five back, a top five receiver, a top five O-line, a top five young offensive head coach. You don't have to be in shootouts every week because that division's dysfunctional at quarterback. You know, you can, they're a good enough defense to win that division. We've seen it. It's not a great defense, but it's good enough. So what is Jordan Love gonna look like at this OTA? Because with a pandemic, we have no idea. The Green Bay is the only people that saw him. Media didn't see him at OTAs. Media didn't see him at camp. He didn't play any last year. Media didn't see him in the preseason. We have no idea what Jordan Love is. And you got a star quarterback that apparently wants out. So here is Matt LaFleur. Do we have a soundbite? Okay, the quote today. Matt LaFleur said today, quote, "The ball is jumping out of," unquote, Jordan Love's hands. He's very excited about the progress. Ball is flying, jumping out of his hand. So I would say this. All right, something. Oh, he wouldn't make it up. There's cameras there. So we're going to have footage tomorrow. So Jordan Love, the ball is jumping out of his hands. That is good news, right?
I love football cliches.
Ball is like, it's a fireworks show.
And it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that Aaron Rodgers is not there right now, right?
All right. Well, you know,
I guess it's better than, like, slithering out of his hands.
Right. So this is, I mean, listen, they're in a tough spot right now. So we were reading a story about Green Bay fans yesterday, and there was multiple quotes from fans, and this is what they said about Rodgers. Quote, "I feel betrayed by him. Quote, "He needs to suck it up, buttercup. Do your job." Quote, "He's spoiled goods now," quote. "I feel disappointed in him," quote. "The Packers paid him $240 million. This is how he treats him. It's BS," quote. "This team, this community, I think the dude's got an attitude," unquote.
I'm way too petty to have anybody talk about me like that and then go back and win anything for them.
If people talked about you like that, you'd be out.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
The MVP! Do better than me.
All right. I'm not disagreeing with you. It's all a lot of fun. I can't wait for that Jordan Love. It's like a DB Cooper footage or something.